I thought this was an appropriate tune. Here we go.
Do you remember when it was time?
September. All right, we're going back to the 70s. Hey, I'm old. What do you want? Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. Great, one of their best songs. Because I think they play some college football in September. It just, I don't know, it's amazing the way that works. Let's talk here for a Tuesday, and we're going to talk some sports. Let's introduce our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. Good morning, Mark.
It's great to be here. You know, football, Scott, is not just the fall anymore. It's year-round. No. There's, like, literally no breaks whatsoever.
Yeah, really. Now, yes, I know the season, folks, starts August 30th. Hey, play along, September, all right? That's the way it goes. All right, we're going to talk some sportsy stuff because it's that kind of week. Got a blue-white game coming up on Saturday. Little shindig involving the NFL on Thursday night. And then money flying in all directions. So, Mark, there's our three main topics that we're going to chat with you on today. First off, let's do a free plug for folks that aren't familiar what you do, Lions 24/7. Give us some background on what you're doing.
Yeah, the name kind of says it all. I mean, we cover Penn State sports, primarily football, hoops, football recruiting, every day of the year, year-round. It's fun, though. It's a great thing to do, and we're actually running a pretty cool special now, 50% off an annual subscription. Or if you want to take a test drive, kick the tires a little bit, you get 1 month for $1. So that takes you through the end of spring practice and all the recruiting stuff that's happening next month. It's fun. So I'll leave it at that. I mean, people, I think, know about the site. If you don't, just go to lions247.com. You can check it out. It's a fun place to be. Message boards, videos, stories, premium content, you name it.
Folks, this guy and I used to work, together, oh my lord, 30, do I want to remember? 30-something years ago.
When.
How's Stacy?
She's doing great. My daughter, Grace, is doing great. She shoots photos for us. And one of the really cool things, and you know, I always like to throw a little personal thing in here, and usually I'm making fun of you somehow, but
yes, you are.
Your daughter, Miss Geezy at the time, ended up teaching my daughter at Mountain Indy Middle School. So that was a very cool way that things kind of come full circle in this community. It's a great community, and the way you run into other people's families. You know, you and I kind of worked in the sports field, the media, that sort of thing, but to see our daughters connect at a different level, I can't tell you how much my daughter loved having your daughter as a teacher, so it was very cool.
All right, I'll pass that along. Also means we're both very old, so that's not good.
Yes.
All right, let's start with spring practice. All right, just sort of because you cover this obviously very closely, just sort of an open-ended question. How's it been? What's been happening? What's been, I don't know, important with this year's Penn State spring practice? Go.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost was the roster retention. You look around at what's happening now, and I know that a lot was made of a guy like Tamir Robinson entering the portal. But, you know, with this ridiculousness of the portal opening during spring practice for a lot of teams, I mean, it's just been pure insanity. The fact that Penn State, I think, was able to maintain, you know, the vast majority of its roster, it's odd. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, we would never have been even talking about this stuff. But if you look at what Penn State was able to do in keeping the majority of its roster together, the majority of its key players, returning together, I think was unbelievable. Number two, I think really one of the stories that I don't think received enough kind of notoriety this spring was kind of the battle for that backup quarterback job. You know, Bill Prabula ended up entering the portal. Again, ridiculousness that the portal opened as the last season was going on. And I think most people have a healthy respect for what Bill Prabula was able to do as a backup QB. You know, basically led them to a win at Wisconsin, and that ended up being an important game for them. And I don't know that he really had much of a choice. I mean, if he was going to stick around for another year, he'd have been sitting behind Drew Aller and decides to go into the portal, leaves for Missouri. And that leaves them basically with Jackson Smolik, who was injured last year, didn't play at all, and Ethan Grunkemeyer, a true freshman last year, who played in one game, SMU, after Prabula left. So I think this spring was big for both of those kids in the sense that you know what you have in Drew Aller. You know, he's in his second year in Andy Kotelnicki's offense. And if you were at practice, if you had the opportunity to be at practice, which I know a lot of people didn't, but we did, you know, I thought they did something that was pretty cool. They had Aller working with a bunch of the veterans, but they were able to get Smolik and Grunkemeyer. He was banged up last week, but I think he's going to be fine. Just a ton of snaps. And that is so important because, Scott, you know, you've been around, whether it was 30 years ago or whether it's, you know, last year, you're only one snap away from your starting quarterback being out. And to have both of those kids get a lot of action, I think just was really, really important. So, you know, that, the linebackers, they lost Tamir Robinson, which to me, if you look at their linebacker depth, you think about Kobe King going out. He had another year, but he decided not to take it. Being able to get some of those guys, the younger kids there, snaps, was really important as well. You know, they're down, Scott, now to three guys, basically, who have played any football whatsoever in DeLuca Rojas and Keon Wiley. And Rojas is out this spring with an injury. So everybody else has really freshman or redshirt freshman eligibility. So that's another spot that I think was very important for them. And then obviously everybody's talking about wide receiver. They lose their two top wide receivers from last year. But how well did either of those guys play? They weren't consistent whatsoever. So it's a total overhaul, bringing in a couple of transfer portal entries in early January. Kyron Hudson from USC and Devontae Ross from Troy, I think, was really big. And then, you know, keep an eye on what some of the younger receivers are going to do there. So that's kind of a brief overview. But this weekend, what are we going to see in the Blue Way game? I think it's going to be similar to recent years where not really a whole heck of a lot. I hate to be a wet blanket, but it's never going to be the scrimmage that it used to be back in the day. It's always going to be more of a kind of extended practice, you know, that kind of thing where they're really going to go above and beyond not to show anything. It's better than what Matt Rhule is doing out of Nebraska and deciding not to have a, and with all due respect to Matt Rhule, a state college guy who we both covered way back in the day, but, you know, they're not just going to eliminate it altogether. But still having the blue-white game, I think it's good, but I'm not sure what you're going to draw out of it.
All right. I've got some questions, but let me ask this one while it's fresh on my mind, because I honestly do not know. Who is in charge of the portal? Who sets that thing up? That you mentioned the timing, which I also thought was kind of dumb. Who's in charge? Is that the NCAA? Who's in charge of this gig?
Yeah, it's the NCAA. And so basically, they make these decisions, and the crazy thing about it, Scott, is they do this with no input from coaches. And, you know, I'm not saying coaches are the be-all, end-all, but they could give feedback on what's going to make the most sense. So, I mean, for people who haven't followed, you know, for people who aren't sports junkies, let me go back to the Bo Prabula situation. So the portal opened in early December, I think it was. Everything's running together.
Yes.
The season went so
yes.
long. But so it opens in early December and it closes in like early January. So a guy like Bo Prabula, if he wants to, he was the Penn State's backup quarterback last year, played really well for them when they needed him. You know, Drew Aller, the starter, was hurt at Wisconsin. Prabula came in, led them to a victory. He's on the same. He's a year behind Aller on his timeline, only because he redshirted as a true freshman and Aller didn't. But so what? That puts him in a position where this season Aller is a senior in his final year of eligibility. Tribula would have been in his next to last year of eligibility. So he was going to be sitting behind Aller. I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, everybody knew that. And then maybe he has next year as a starter. So he's in a position where if he doesn't enter the portal, he is only looking at potentially 1 year as a starter. And whether you like that or not, you know, kids, you're a quarterback, you just don't want to do that. So he wanted to stay with Penn State through the end of the season in the college football playoff run, but there's a limited number of quarterback spots out there. So once the portal opens, if you're not in it, you may be costing yourself an opportunity. So by opening the portal during the season and during the college football playoffs, you're basically forcing a kid to make a decision. And that's why it's so much different than it used to be, where if a kid left the program, was like, oh, I can't believe it, he's a term good. I think everybody felt for Bo Prabula that he basically had to enter the portal. So they do that then, and now they have this situation where the portal opens in April for a week, and it opened last week, and it's closing the day before the Blue White game. So if a kid wants to go seek an opportunity elsewhere, he isn't even making it through the end of spring practice. And it's just absolute insanity. It's nuts. I mean, I asked James Franklin about it last week, and what they should do, and I agree with James. I don't agree with James on everything. I agree with him on this. There should be one portal opening per year, probably after spring practice, when everybody kind of knows where they stand, and open it for a couple of weeks and let kids make their decisions and then go from there. But the way they have it now, it's just putting the players, it's putting the coaches, it's putting everybody in just a horrible position.
All right, quick question and opinion. All right, the NCAA, once again, how long until this organization collapses? What do you think?
I think it's only a matter of time until the major conferences are somehow policing themselves. And that's frightening in its own sense, but could it be worse at this point? I guess the NCAA is winging it on all of this. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't. But it's got to be better than what's going on now. There's so much money involved that, again, it's going to be only a matter of time until the major conferences, the Power Four, I guess it's called now, or, you know, does it ultimately come down to a Power Two, which I think it's, you know, eventually that's where things seem to be headed. But, yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's only a matter of time until it kind of collapses in on itself, and the conferences are going to have to police themselves, which is kind of a frightening thing, but I don't know that it could be any worse than what it is now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. I want to ask you your thoughts on this NIL stuff, which I still don't understand, but I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah.
While you were talking, I had a flashback of sorts. 40 years ago, Penn State had John Schaefer and Matt Kizner as quarterbacks. And I remember there was a quarterback controversy back then. Even though Penn State played in the national championship game 2 years in a row, they lost the first one, won the second one, Kizner hung around and he got to play 1 year as a starter, and that was 87, because then he was done. That was it. I'm thinking, Mark, would you agree? If that were today, Kizner would hit the portal. Probably wouldn't even waste time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the problem then for kids was that there were all sorts of rules. So you would have had to sit out one of your years of eligibility, and you don't have to do that anymore. Obviously,
nope.
I mean, we're to the point now, Scott, where you know there's a kid who committed to, let me think if I get this right. He committed to UCLA, ended up flipping and signed with Arkansas. And then this was, you know, he enrolled in January of this year, and now he's already in the portal and he's going back to UCLA. It's crazy. It's insanity. So, yeah, I mean, they've done away with all those restrictions. So, you know, ideally, what they would have done was find a happy medium. But obviously they weren't able to do that because they were basically, I want to choose my words correctly. They weren't treating these athletes fairly for decades and decades and decades, to the point where when push came to shove, they basically had to let it be free agency. And that's what it's come down to. And it's even worse than free agency because kids are signing, you know, the kids from Tennessee, and I was talking about his younger brother, but the kid from Tennessee who signed an NIL deal with Tennessee ends up saying, I want more money, and he's not beholden to the deal, and he's ending up at UCLA as well. So it's crazy. And, you know, you can't necessarily be critical of the kids because they're doing the same exact thing that coaches do. Coaches are signing contracts and then not honoring them and going and moving somewhere else. So it was over-policed for so many years that it got to the point where now there's no policing it whatsoever. So it's crazy, but I'll go back to what I – and that's why when we started talking, Scott, I said the one thing that Penn State has done really well has been roster retention. And, again, who would have ever thought we would have been talking about that? But I think what it comes down to is you really have to set the proper culture in your program that it's about more than just money, and that people are able to see that if they're successful within your program – they're eventually going to make money. They're eventually going to get paid. And it may not be, you know, $2 million immediately, but if you're that good of a player and do what you need to do, you have the opportunity to be the next Abdul Carter or Tyler Warren or, you know, Micah Parsons or Saquon Barkley or whoever, and get to where you need to be and make the money that you deserve.
All right, we'll take a break here in a minute or two. All right, Drew Aller, I love the kid. I think he's great, tremendous professional potential. Made one ill-advised throw in that game with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And occasionally I still on social media I'll see some fan, you know, ragging on Aller and oh, Penn State, oh, it's not going to turn out, rah, rah, rah. And I just, you know, I want to punch these people through the computer screen, I guess. Anything on him this spring? I mean, what did he need to do to get ready for, I guess, will be his final season this fall? What about him?
Yeah, I think he just has to, first of all, he's in his second year in Kotal Nicki's system now. So I think there's something to be said for that. That's big. I think he needs more consistency from his receivers. He has not had that. I mean, Tyler Warren, obviously, when you talk about, I'm talking about wide receivers. You know, Tyler Warren was obviously an awesome weapon for him. But, I mean, the last 2 years, he has had zero consistency from his receivers. If you go game by game for his primary wide receivers last year outside of, you know, Tyler Warren, again, a tight end, and you knew what you were going to get from him every game. So he needs more consistency, but it needs to be better decision-making on his part. I mean, that's what that boiled down to. He just made a bad decision in a key moment. And I know that sounds like I'm, like, poo-pooing it, but you have to learn from that. You have to take a look at it. And that's one of the things, you know, Danny O'Brien is their quarterback's coach now. I mean, he's been their quarterback's coach for the last couple years. They just weren't able to phrase it that way. But now with the expanded staffs, Danny O'Brien, former quarterback at Maryland, transferred to Wisconsin, was in the CFL for a bunch of years. But the one thing he said is that they have watched that play, like they've watched a lot of plays over and over and over again to figure out what went wrong. And Aller is the kind of guy, and this is coming from O'Brien, who I really respect, who isn't afraid to acknowledge his mistakes and has to learn from them. And that's what it's boiling down to at this point. I mean, he has all the tools to be an NFL quarterback. It's got it now it's not the arm strength. It's not the physical ability. It's none of that. It's coming down to making the right decisions at the right time. And that's the thing. Those are the things that he's been zeroing in on this spring. Watching tape, getting comfortable with the new receivers, all of those things are going to be the key for him moving forward.
One more question before we break. Given the craziness, all right, are you surprised Nick Singleton and Catron Allen both stayed?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
But, no, I'm surprised that one or both didn't declare for the draft. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about with the roster retention. Now, who knows, you know, what could happen between now and the season. I'm not saying I expect anything to happen, but listen, these guys want to play for a national title. And I think if you look at the early preseason rankings, you know, people are looking at Penn State as a national title contender. So it's one thing to make money, which is great. But I think both of these guys, and listen, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Jawan Sider, the running backs coach at Penn State, who left for a similar position at Notre Dame. But early in their careers, he convinced them that you guys can make each other better. And it's never been a competition between the two of them. It's been a complementary type thing. And I think if you look, both of them are going to end up being better NFL prospects because of the other. In the sense that when you look at, they don't have that much tread off the tires, I guess is the right way to put it. So when NFL scouts are looking at running backs, yeah, both of these guys are going to end up breaking the Penn State record, career record for rushing yardage. But yet both of them will not have been, like, beaten to death by carrying that many times. So it's this weird dynamic that has worked out for both of them. So, yeah, I would have thought that one of them might have declared for the draft. But the fact that they didn't, I think, speaks to the respect they have for one another. And again, you know, wanting to try to get back here and win a national title.
All right, let's take a break here. All right, our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7, talking Penn State sports and a couple other things. Folks, check out the website, lions247.com. Great information there. You can subscribe, get even more great information there. So, Mark, hold on. We're going to take this break. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. You know, we do sports talk most of the day. We'll do a little bit more here when the program continues right after this.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will hear Paul Skeens pitch.
Swing and a miss, another strikeout for Skeens. That's four through two innings. Six up, six down for Paul Skeens.
And this is where you can learn that Key Brian Hayes is one of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball.
Bunnett toward Baruchy, now to third. Hayes bare hands, throws, and got him. Terrific play by Key Brian Hayes. Magnificent.
Or perhaps you're just wondering, how do you answer?
Swing, fly ball, deep right field, cruises in a grand slam. That's how you answer. That's how you answer.
Stay tuned for more Pirates baseball all summer long, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And hopefully you remember how to properly use your...
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number three on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Pulling out the good ones here, all right. Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning, all right. Scott with you here, along with our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7, because we got sort of a sportsy week going on here with the blue-white game on Saturday. All right, Mark, we talked about some star players. Everybody knows them. How about some guys this spring, like the thought is, hey, watch out for this guy. He's really good. Or, hey, this guy is really coming on. Or, hey, this guy transferred in, and boy, he looks dynamite. Some of these new guys, if you will. I'm assuming there's one or two or three that you could mention, like, hey, watch out for these fellas. So who might those guys be?
Yeah, I mean, Elliot Washington, the quarterback, he played last year, but you didn't see a whole heck of a lot of him. But he's a relatively young guy. He dominated winter workouts. He was named cornerback player of the position in all six workouts that they had, which was kind of unheard of, and has just picked it up. And I think he's pretty much established himself as that guy, kind of opposite A.J. Harris. A.J. Harris played really well last year, and they lose Jalen Kimber, who declared for the NFL draft, and they really needed somebody to step up, and I think Elliot Washington did that. One guy I would really watch out for, I mentioned him earlier, is Devontae Ross. He's the receiver from Troy who transferred in. I'm scrolling down here looking to find his measurements, but it's pretty interesting because he is listed, Scott, at, give me a second, I'm dying here, 5'10", 170. So he, and they say he's put on like 10 pounds, but he is like super quick. And, you know, I think he has the opportunity to be kind of the game breaker that they didn't really have the last couple years on a more consistent basis. He played really well at Iowa last year. Everybody knows that's a difficult place to play. So he has played well against Power 4 competition. And then Kyron Hudson, another receiver, the one from USC, he had a touchdown catch against Penn State, which was notable in the fact that all of Penn State, none of the returning Penn State receivers, wide receivers this year, had more than one touchdown on the year last year. So he had as many touchdown catches against Penn State as anybody did for the entire season last year in the wide receiver corps. So those are a few of the guys. I think Keon Wiley, you know, keep an eye on him. He's a linebacker, athletic. Going to have an opportunity to do some things. And as I'm looking through here, I'm trying to think of who else would really jump out at you. Defensive tackle, yeah. I would say that, you know, one guy, Xavier Gilliam, he's a young kid. I think he's big. He's athletic. He has an opportunity to do some things. So those are just some of the names that I would maybe keep an eye out for as this spring goes along and wraps up Saturday.
All right. Jim Knowles, I'll assume you've met him.
Yes.
Had, I mean, phenomenal season, Ohio State defensive coordinator. Then he gets up and leaves and comes over here, which is unusual. Tell me about this guy.
He is, I mentioned Kotal Nicki before, and Kotelniki, I know you asked me about Knowles, but I want to use this just to kind of compare and contrast. If you're a practice, you will always know where Andy Kotelniki is. He's like yelling at everybody. He's dropping F-bombs. He's joking around. He's having a blast. Knowles is like super low key. I mean, at practice, unbelievably low key. He walks around, scribbles down notes, may say something to one of the other defensive assistants, and it's just this juxtaposition that I think it's an example that there are different ways to get a job done. So he is more of the low-key, going to make the practice plan. The coaches they have on defense, you know, you're led by guys like Terry Smith and Anthony Poindexter who have been around forever and are just fantastic coaches. And he lets them do most of the on-field work, and he sets the practice plan, lets them handle it. He's out there taking notes. Once practice is over, he's crushing film, and it's almost like a mad scientist. So very understated, very different from Kotelniki, but I think it's an example that, you know, clearly, you know, you can get things done in different ways. So it was noticeable, Scott, at the practice availabilities that we had, how low-key this guy is. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's like you're trying to take photos, you're trying to do video. It's like, where's Knowles? Has anybody seen Knowles? Where is he? And trust me, you will know exactly where Andy Kotelniki is. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, again, the guys go at it in completely different manners. And one thing that Knowles said, and we have an opportunity to talk to Kotelniki tomorrow. Most of the availabilities this spring have been on Tuesdays, but they're making it Wednesday. I'm sure for scheduling purposes, the way things are leading up to the Blue-White game. But one thing Knowles said, and James Franklin said this as well, is that they've worked really well together in terms of learning from one another. And think about the value of that. So you have a guy who was game planning against Kotelniki last year at Ohio State, and now he's able to come in here and say, okay, well, these are some of the things that work for us. This is what stood out to us. And it's continued on to the practice field, kind of a give and take both ways.
All right, here's an opinion question. It might not be fair. All right. The hype machine is already rolling for this team. Some expert has them as number one in the country. I'm thinking, okay, the hype machine, here we go. Can they live up to the hype? Those two coaches you just mentioned, are they going to be here a year from now? Or is some other team going to come? It seems almost inevitable. They're going to come calling and they're gone. What do you think? I'm just curious.
Yeah, Knowles isn't going anywhere. He's the highest paid coach and the highest paid assistant coach in college football. So I think he's going to be staying. And he's not a guy who aspires to be a head coach. Kotelniki is going to be a head coach. So I think the thing that you have to worry about if you're a Penn State fan, and I don't even know that you could say worry about. It's so much different. I mean, Scott, do you realize that from, I want to say 2004 until everything went kind of haywire in 2011, they had one coaching change on a Penn State staff. Brian Norwood left and was replaced. I'm forgetting who was replaced by. It was like in 2007 or 2008, whatever it was. That stability just doesn't happen anymore. You know, it just isn't the way things work. So, to me, I don't think you have to worry about Andy Kotelniki. If you're a Penn State fan, you don't have to worry about Andy Kotelniki taking another offensive coordinator job. I think you have to worry about him becoming a head coach. And it's kind of the way things are anymore. I know people will look at Tom Allen and say, well, he was only here for 1 year and then he was gone. I'm not sure how great of a fit he was here personality-wise, and that's not a knock on Tom. He's a great human being. But that just didn't seem like the most comfortable kind of situation overall. I think Kotelniki is a good fit with everybody else, and I would be surprised if he goes anywhere else other than becoming a head coach. But that man will be a head coach. Mark my words. Like, when we dealt with Brent Pry, we knew he was going to be a head coach. When we dealt with Manny Diaz, I mean, he had been a head coach already. We knew he was going to be head coach again. And I think you get that same sense with Andy Kotelniki, just in terms of his personality, the way he carries himself. That's not a knock on Knowles. I think Knowles will be, I think, the first one to tell you that he's comfortable being a coordinator. A head coach, I don't think, is what he wants to be.
Interesting. I don't know. You don't hear that much, I don't think, anymore. It's not the old days. Another opinion question. Will this be the last blue-white game Saturday? What do you think?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think James Franklin has an appreciation for what the game means. You know, it's self-serving in a way, but it's a gigantic recruiting weekend for them. And if I'm going to give another plug for the site, I mean, check out our site this weekend with all the recruiting coverage. I'll leave it at that leading up to it. But he knows how important it is for the community. I mean, it helps the hotels. It helps the restaurants. It helps everybody. So they're always going to have it in one form or another. I just don't think it's never going to go back to being the four-quarter game that it used to be. I mean, again, you and I were old enough that we remember when it was actually played like a game. It's never going to be that. It's always going to be, it's not even a glorified scrimmage. It's a glorified practice. So, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's actually fun to go and watch a practice. Believe me, it is. I mean, I get the opportunity to do it. I don't take that for granted. You know, it's not going and watching Penn State, Ohio State, but if you're a football person, you'll enjoy it.
All right. NFL draft starts Thursday night. First question, what exactly do we know is Abdul Carter's health? Do we really know where he's at right now?
Yeah, I think he's fine. But, you know, they uncovered something leading into the combine, and I think they say it's fine. I haven't. If you haven't heard anything to this point about it being something serious, he's going to be one of the top three picks. I'll be surprised if he lasts beyond that. But I think, I think he's fine. I mean, he's a game wrecker. He's fine. I would not worry about Abdul Carter.
All right. So what's going to happen Thursday night? I mean, the draft starts Thursday night and then continues into Friday. What's going to happen Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Tennessee's number one, they're going to take a quarterback. Cleveland is number two. They're going to do something stupid and pass on Abdul Carter. Because that's what Cleveland does, right? It'll make good.
Okay.
No, seriously, think about it. So if you're the Cleveland Browns, your best player is who? Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
And you just sign him to a massive five-year contract. And you have the opportunity, again, I'm going to use the term because it's true, and we saw it. You have the opportunity to get another game wrecker in there opposite Myles Garrett. On a rookie deal for 4 years with a team option for the fifth year. Now, typically on that fifth year, they're going to renegotiate before that happens. But think about the value that you're getting. And when you look at the NFL draft, there's a reason that quarterbacks and defensive ends and offensive tackles go so high. Because those are the most expensive positions. If you're able to get an Abdul Carter, I don't care about Travis Hunter. That's great. He could play two different positions. But I'm getting a guy who could be opposite Myles Garrett on a team-friendly contract for 4 years. And you don't have to worry about defensive end. And you don't have to worry about cornerback because quarterbacks aren't going to have an opportunity to throw the ball. You know, having said all that, just look at what Cleveland's done the last 4 or 5 years, and you could – rest assured that they're going to do something stupid, and that's going to be not take Abdul Carter. So what does that mean? That means another stupid team, the Giants, who basically gave my beloved Philadelphia Eagles Saquon Barkley, now they're on the clock. I don't think they're that dumb. I think the Giants are going to take Abdul Carter, and he's going to end up being a really good player. They have a couple of really good pass rushers there. And, again, you can never have enough pass rushers. And he's going to get in with that outfit and do really well. So, to me, I think Abdul Carter goes three to the Giants. Tyler Warren, I think he's one of the top 10 players in the draft, Scott. But the value on tight ends just isn't there. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I think there's only been three or four first round tight ends taken this decade. Pitts a few years ago was like number four, but that teams just don't do it. So, you know, a lot of the experts are saying he'll go 14. I think it is to the Colts. The Colts have a real need there. They got no production. And that would seem about right to me. I think if somebody else took him, it would be kind of a luxury pick for them earlier than that. I think he's one of the top 10 players without doubt, but I just don't know the teams put that much value. And then from then on, you know, the key question is going to be KJ Winston. He ran a really good 40, I think 4.5. I don't have the numbers right in front of me at Pro Day, but, you know, he's coming off an ACL injury suffered early last season. I think he would have been a no-brainer second round pick. And people are still talking about him. A lot of mock drafts have him going to my beloved Eagles at the end of the second round, which would be, you know, I would love that. But I just don't know. I think people might be a little bit worried, and you might not see him go until the third round. Jalen Reed, safety, I think you're looking for third, fourth round. And then Kobe King, I thought, did really well for himself at Pro Day. He ran well. Fifth round guy, you know, third day, in that area somewhere. So Kimber actually did really well Pro Day as well. I mean, he ran really well. He was snubbed, didn't get invited to the combine. I think he might have worked his way into the draft. And then another guy, keep an eye on Keziah Izzard. He ran a 4.7 and change 40 at Pro Day, which was crazy. And it would have been the fastest by a defensive tackle at the NFL Combine. But you look at his testing numbers, and it's really weird because he tested phenomenally, but then you match that up with his stats at Penn State, and he just – the production wasn't there. So it's just a situation where – 4.81, I'm sorry, it wasn't 4.7. But is this a situation where somebody sees a guy tested like a freak – and decides to take a late round flyer. But I think those are the guys who have an opportunity. There are other guys who will be undrafted free agents, but I would be surprised if anybody beyond that crew has a real opportunity to be drafted.
All right. One final question. Now, we talked NIL earlier, which again still confuses the heck out of the old guy here, you know, this craziness and so on. You know, Tennessee and UCLA essentially did a trade. One quarterback went the one direction, the quarterback goes the other way. I mean, it's like a good old-fashioned pro trade or something like that. I guess I'm just curious or perplexed. You know, Penn State's been kind of quiet on all this stuff. Other schools, it's been nuts. It's been crazy. Tennessee, you know, all this stuff. Is it a situation where everything is just hunky-dory rosy at Penn State? It's just been so quiet that you don't hear anything that much about NIL there. What is there some story behind this?
If you're a Penn State fan, you want to knock on wood, right? Sooner or later, whether it's this year or next year or whatever, you know, somebody's parent is going to say they need more money or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, it's going to happen. But, you know, so far it goes back to where we started our whole conversation, Scott, when you asked me about spring practice. And I know I keep going back to this, but roster retention, and it's about the culture of the program. And if you have the right culture, it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to put people in a situation where they're more likely to stay. I mean, I think one of the under – another one of the, I don't think it's received enough publicity, but the situation with King Mack, are you familiar with what happened here? I mean, he's a Penn State safety, comes in as a true freshman 2 years ago. And, yeah, he's a special teams guy. He's a backup safety, you know, putting himself into position where he's probably going to play a lot in 2024. Not a ton. I mean, they were really stacked at safety, but he would have been a really good backup piece for them in 2024. Goes through winter workouts, goes through spring practice. The portal opened after spring practice last year. What a concept. And he's like shockingly enters the portal, and he ends up transferring to Alabama. And King Mack goes down, and he's pretty much in Alabama what he would have been at Penn State. Special teams guy, backup safety. And the season ends and comes toward an end. Again, the portal opened during the season. King Mack goes back in the portal and transfers back to Penn State. What? I mean, so that's kind of what I've been talking about. Why on earth would a kid leave Penn State for Alabama and then be at Alabama for 1 year and then decide to come back to Penn State? It's because he liked playing here. He likes the culture. He likes the coaches. You know what I'm saying? He realized that there's something above all this other crap that everybody's talking about. And I shouldn't say crap. It's above all this other stuff. There are things that you can't necessarily put a price tag on. And that's being happy with where you are. So I know that may sound a little bit corny, but I think if you make your program a spot where people are comfortable and are happy, it's going to take a lot to pry them out of there. Some of them. Not all of them. I mean, some of them. But I've been around enough. You know, now you have parents. Now you have agents. Now you have all these other people. So the best you can do is make your culture and make the program as much of a happy place and a comfortable place for your players as you possibly can. And I think that's what James Franklin has been able to do. And again, I don't want to suggest that it's perfect or that there isn't going to be a situation where a big name player leaves at some point, not necessarily soon, but again, you know, next season, whenever it may be. But the best you can do is make it a good spot for people, and I think that's what they've been able to do.
So for all the Franklin haters out there, did you hear what Mark just said? I agree with Mark, I agree with you. All right. Got a good situation here. Let's win a championship. Yeah, hello. That would be a great thing. But yeah, I still read the stuff from the Franklin haters. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. Mark,
one quick thing, Scott. You could be critical of Franklin for stuff like in-game stuff or if you don't like calls or whatever, but you can't be critical of him for the way he's built this program. What he inherited and what he's built it into. Yeah, I mean, you just can't be, and anybody who is naive. But if you want to be ticked that they can't beat Ohio State, that's fine. That's fair criticism. But no, you in terms of the program he's beating. So I know that I'm going on a little bit long here, but I did want to throw that out there because if people do hate Franklin, it's like, you know, be mad at him for not winning games, big games. But in terms of building the program, he's put this thing somewhere where it hasn't really been.
All right, I'll restart the music.
Time.
There we go. Hey, we got to take a break. Mark, appreciate your time. Have fun this week.
Will do. Thanks, Scott.
All right, that's our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. Lions247.com. They do some great reporting there. Free plug. Check it out.